overjoyed today. My guest is a former radio host. She's joyful being to be around. Her name is Tiana Louise, and I actually found her by listening to another podcast that she was guesting on. So welcome, Tiana. How are you today?
I'm doing really well, and thank you so much for the beautiful introduction and for having me.
I understand you're in New York. What part of New York are you in?
I'm in Brooklyn. So I'm originally from Oakland, California, and I moonlight between Oakland and New York. I've done that for many years now. New York is second home to me, and Brooklyn reminds me a lot of Oakland. So when I am in Brooklyn, or when I am in New York, I spend a lot of time in Brooklyn.
Nice. I lived in New York when I was about three, but I don't remember much. My parents owned the Seneca Falls Reveille in upstate New York, near Syracuse.
Well, I haven't explored upstate much. Something that's been on my wish list, but New York City is an interesting place indeed. Lots to do here and see here, lots of interesting people.
I love New York City. I love it. You know, I went back there to DC and New York a couple years ago. It was actually like 20 years ago, and I was visiting, and I didn't leave myself enough time because I spent more time in DC. When I got to New York City, I didn't think I was gonna like it. And I loved it. One of my dear friends lived in Soho, and he walked me all the places and told me how they named everything and showed me all the lofts that had gotten built from, you know, old warehouses. Just fascinating. Every part of New York was fascinating, I thought.
Yeah, there's so much history here. And here's a fun fact that I love to spread around. So Alameda County, since you're familiar with Northern California, Alameda County, if you don't know, was actually started by Mormons who came to California from New York City on a ship called the Brooklyn. So that's why we have so many Brooklyn references in Oakland, the Brooklyn Basin, Brooklyn Avenue. And when I found that out, I was just fascinated because for so many years, I've always felt that there was some deeper connection between the two cities.
That's really crazy. I didn't even know that at all. I grew up in Berkeley, California, and it had a really long history. And I remember the Martin Luther King marches were right outside, like basically outside my door. They were on a street, you know, they went down one street and over another street to the campus. And my dad at the time was in graduate school there. And I remember hearing all the, oh, and in school we had to sing We Shall Overcome every morning.
You definitely grew up in Berkeley.
That's
For
what
me,
I'm
it
saying.
Was the Pledge of Allegiance. It was the Pledge of Allegiance every morning growing up in the Midwest.
We had to stand like in the hallways holding hands. All the kids, because we were integrated and it was like new, and they were like, you know, we want you all to get along. But kids, we were kind of colorblind. Like when you're little, you kind of just like, we didn't really see it. Like we just had our friend, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't like, it was so different when you just grow up in a mixed environment. It's like, it's all just rainbow, you know?
Yeah, my daughter goes to a OUSD school, and every morning they start their day with I am affirmations, and then they get to share them with each other. So I guess it's a sign of the times, right? California, particularly the Bay Area, is definitely a special place with how we do things.
That's real. So let me ask you a little bit about your business and your coaching and kind of what kind of led you to become, I know you have a strong background in news. We had a conversation about that where you worked at KGO Radio and KCBS as a news producer. Tell me a little bit about what led you into coaching.
Great question. Something that I think about often because I wake up some days and I'm just like, wow, this is my life. So when I was a news reporter, I did it for about 15 years. I loved telling stories. And I also recognized that a lot of people at all levels, whether they were you know, in corporate leadership, government leadership, community leadership, sometimes would have an issue telling their own stories, or at least telling them in a way that was authentic, relatable, and could actually connect with audiences that they say they cared about. And so that never really sat right with me. And so after about 15 plus years of getting up at all times of the day and night to
right, to, like the to be at work, sleep, right?
Yeah. And being ready to have more of a quote unquote normal life and schedule, I started, you know, considering entrepreneurship and really looking at what I was passionate about. And that was helping people really authentically connect to who they are so that they could tell themselves and the world a better story. I always say that, you know, communication is an inside out job. And a lot of the times when you see things like the Occupy Oakland, the George Floyds, all of the things that go wrong in our society where we say, ooh, this is bad. And then we, you know, we scorn the leaders who are, you know, heading up the conversation as not telling the truth or not telling the whole truth. And having, you know, been on both sides of the aisle, I'm from East Oakland, born and raised, I'm a Black woman. And then having worked inside of media for so long, having, you know, access to government leaders and, you know, organizational leaders at many different levels, I really understood the both and of each side, where each side was coming from. And it seemed like a big miss that we couldn't all come to the table and just have authentic conversation. And a lot of that didn't have to do with either side being quote unquote right or wrong, but it had more to do with both sides really taking a look at themselves and getting clear on the conversations that they were having within themselves and their perceptions and their beliefs that were shaping those conversations, and then being able to come to, you know, the table and work things out outside of all of that. And so that's what really, you know, sparked my interest in doing this kind of work, particularly at the executive coaching level. And the last thing I'll say about it is, you know, what I tell my clients is this: communication is the bridge that can either, you know, build us up or tear us down. And I really do, I do believe that. And I think in today's world, we can't just, it's not enough to value communication. It's a skill that we need to be practicing day in and day out, whether we're at work or at home. You think of any relationship that you've had or any major conflict in the world that's occurring, I guarantee you at the heart of it is a lack of communication or some breakdown in talks. And so while we're all educated, we're all really smart people, for some reason, when it comes to communicating authentically, you know, really taking the masks off and allowing ourselves to be seen before we're heard, it trips up the smartest of people. And so that's why I do what I do. And that's why people pay me to do it.
So tell me, if you were, say, working with someone who had never, like, in our pre-chat, we were talking about one of the authors I've been working with, who's coming out with a beautiful new children's book, and he's never really talked to the media before. And sometimes, like, I can almost take it for granted, Tiana, that I know how to do that, right? Like, I can almost, like, just, I know so much about it because I was it. And, you know, I talked to my parents were it, and I am it still. Like, I'm still having podcasts and writing books. What could you say to someone, like, what are maybe two or three points that you could tell, like, short, like, in, you know, less than 5 minutes? What could you maybe help someone understand, or if they were preparing to go talk to media, preparing to speak up a little more about something they believe strongly in?
So the first thing I would say is that there are some things you always, just always, always, always have to be aware of when it comes to communication, particularly inside of a media space or a media conversation. And a few of those things are, number one, the conversation that you're having in your own head. I've mentioned that a couple of times now, and I think it's really important. So often we have an invitation to speak, we have an invitation to do an interview, and we jump right into, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? How am I going to sound? You know, what's the message? What's the message? But then we get inside of that conversation, we get inside of the opportunity, and we spend a lot more time thinking about what other people are thinking about us, trying to pre-plan, say what, you know, come up with what we're going to say next. And all of that turns into this inner conversation that we're having, and it totally takes you out of the moment. So the biggest thing I would say is, you know, and even just in the way that you talk about it to yourself, the media, wow, that sounds scary. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, what we're really talking about is you having a conversation with another human being who works for a broadcast organization or has their own podcast, right? So in this conversation, I'm connecting with you, Erica, and we're just having a conversation. I have no clue what you're going to ask me. And sure, that could create a little bit of anxiety or things like that. But my best, you know, the best way that I can ensure success is by staying calm, staying focused, staying present, really listening to what you're saying to me, and then relating to you just like I would any other human being who didn't have the title of news reporter or media. That makes sense.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much for that feedback. I, you know, it's a good conversation, and I did actually, it's funny that you talked about like the critical voice. That's something that I've really worked on for years. In fact, two of my books focus on that. One of them was called The Power of Releasing Judgment. And the whole book, and I actually had 26 authors in that book, I put it all together. And it's so fascinating what people will do to, and I think, like you said, it's like to do cartwheels for someone else, you know, or to be manipulated or to just change what they're saying. I think we see this so much in politics today, where someone might just change their message entirely just to make whoever they're talking to happy. And I think it's so important to what you were saying is like to go inside and get your true ideas, get your true, what's really going on. I love that, going below the surface. I think that's a beautiful idea. Thank you.
You're most welcome. And it's absolutely necessary. So the other thing that I would offer is being aware of what triggers you. For a lot of people, just the word media, news reporter, you can become triggered by that based on your own beliefs and perceptions and interpretations and past experiences, all of the judgment, like you just said, that we, you know, all have, we all carry, depending on, you know, how we've experienced the world. And so being clear about those triggers, right? And in addition to that, if you're being interviewed on TV or if you're on video on Zoom, I have some clients who are just triggered by seeing their own face on Zoom. We call those visual triggers. And then couple that with the auditory trigger of your, you know, internal voice that you can never shut off. It's a lot to manage. And so the biggest, you know, tip I could say before you even think about what do I want to say and what's my messaging here is make friends with your inner critic, make friends with that, you know, quote unquote, judgmental voice, because at the end of the day, you know, it's connected to your prehistoric brain, your fight or flight response, and it just wants to keep you safe. So it's not trying to hurt you, but inside of any communication, you always have to be managing it.
I love it. You know, it's just been wonderful talking to you, Tiana. When we did our pre-chat, it was just like we just kept finding ways that our paths could have crossed in the past with where we had lived and where we had grown up and what places we love. And I love that you connect Brooklyn and Oakland. I think that's really cool. I'm so glad you could show up today and enlighten our audience. Let us know, how can we reach you and find out more?
Sure. You can find me at TianaLouise.com. That's Tiana spelled just like Rihanna, but with a T, T-I-H-A-N-N-A louise.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, you know, all of the social media platforms at Tiana_Louise.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.